Drive-through services for hamburgers, fried chicken, and coffee have been around for a while. Now major grocery stores are bringing that same convenience to consumers with curbside pickups. The service is free at Walmart, but Kroger users pay about $5 to $7 for the convenience. Kroger's needs at least 4 hours to prepare the order. Then drive in and your groceries will get wheeled out and loaded up to your car.
What do you make of the job situation?
You know, you've got an economy that's growing at around 2.5%. You've got an economy that's on average generating about 175,000 jobs. That's where we've been. That's where we continue to be. We have a lot of volatility up and down in the monthly numbers. But at the end of the day, 170, 175 has been the right, you know, long-term estimate. Right now, you care about the wage number and you care about where inflation is going to go going forward. And I think that's the critical piece to deal with as we go forward into the new year.
The Trump administration on Tuesday will, on live television, blame the North Korean government and say that they're responsible for the WannaCry attack that damaged 300,000 computers in more than 150 countries. This is not the first time that the U.S. government has blamed North Korea for a cyber attack, but it is significant, saying that the North Korean regime is behind the WannaCry attack, one of the most serious cyber attacks we've seen on record.
Now, WGN Radio's daily conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is The Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
And good morning to you. It's 5:08 and today is Tuesday, December 19th. It's Dave Plyer in for Steve Grzanich here on The Opening Bell on 720 WGN. On the bell this morning, we'll talk to Professor Jennifer Drobak from the University of Indiana about the sexual harassment crisis in the workplace and what preventative measures companies need to take in 2018. And at 5:40, we'll look at the retail businesses that are out there as we are 5 days away from Christmas, plus a look ahead into 2018. All that is coming up after we check the WGN Associated Bank market desk this morning. European markets were slightly higher this morning on the back of a record-setting session on Wall Street amid heightened expectations that U.S. lawmakers could pass the sweeping tax legislation. The pan-European stocks were up about 0.1% with most sectors, major bourses in positive territory. Europeans' travel and leisure stocks led the gains this morning, up over 0.6% during early morning deals. And looking at individual stocks, Hugo Boss shares rose almost 5% shortly after the opening bell. The German fashion house was supported by comments by the CEO, who reportedly said the company would grow materially faster than the market in 2018. Major indexes in the Asian markets were mostly higher. Japan's Nikkei closed lower by 0.15%. Most automakers and retailers saw gains, with Mitsubishi Motor outperforming its peers in the auto sector and gaining 2.13%. Tech shares were mostly lower. And oil markets edged up today as the 40s pipeline outage in the North Sea and voluntary production restraint led OPEC-supported crude, although soaring output in the United States put a cap on gains. We also have some business news happening around the world yesterday and overnight. 2017 has been a year of records on Wall Street, and the latest to fall under the unceasing bull market has stood the test of more than 20 years. The Dow Industrial Average closed at a record on Monday, rising 0.6% on optimism related to the tax bill, marking the average's 70th record close of the year. That represents the highest number ever of closes in a year, topping the 69 records that occurred over 1995. The new Fitbit iconic smartwatch, the latest iteration in the fitness technology company's arsenal of wearable fitness trackers, has not delivered the business savings boost that Fitbit hoped it would. According to Forbes, Wall Street analysts are reporting that the company's newest wearable option is not turning out to be as popular as anticipated. The lukewarm response could be attributed to its $300 price tag, as well as similar alternatives that many competitors are offering in the space. Fitbit has pursued partnering with corporations for wellness plans and with medical centers for research studies, but neither have paid off as expected. Cranes has reported that a low-profile 104-year-old thrift in Chicago's Bridgeport neighborhood became the city's second bank failure in 2017, with no warning that the lender was troubled. Washington Federal Bank for Savings, a $166 million asset institution that on paper was simply a mortgage lender, was closed December 15th by the U.S. Office of the Comptroller and Currency. The thrift was extremely well capitalized and showed no signs of liquidity issues. And more than 2 billion packages are headed out this holiday season, destined for the doorsteps of friends and family around the world. If you still have some gifts to order, your best and cheapest bet is to take care of business right now. Most retailers have named today as the cutoff date for standard shipping to ensure Christmas delivery. Wednesday is the deadline for FedEx two-day delivery, UPS Second Day Air, and USPS Priority Mail. Thursday is the final day to ship FedEx overnight and UPS Next Day Air. And if you really want to gamble, USPS said it will get your shipment to its destination by Christmas as long as you ship by Friday. Of course, you'll want to double check shipping times before you order to ensure your gift will make it on time. And if you still haven't ordered your gift, experts say Amazon is your best option. You can use the company's two-day shipping until Friday, and the cutoff date, boy, really pushing it, for one-day shipping is on Saturday. A recent study surveying over 2,200 part-time and full-time female employees concluded that sexual harassment is sadly still very rampant in the American workplace. It is estimated that one in three women between the ages of 18 to 34 have been sexually harassed at work, and 81% of women have been verbally harassed, jokes, name-calling, and more. Although statistics show workplace sexual harassment overwhelmingly victimizes females, men's are victims roughly 17 to 20% of the time. And as stories of sexual harassment and assault dominate the news, with recent allegations leveled against journalists, politicians, business leaders, and even Hollywood, let's remember this problem is not unique to any one group. It transcends political ideology, industry, geography, and shockingly enough, age. Harassment is not something that surfaces only when women enter the workforce. It could be start much earlier than that. And joining us this morning to talk about the subject and what you could do in your business to train, prevent, and properly handle sexual harassment in the workplace is Jennifer Drobeck. She's a professor of law at Indiana University. Good morning to you.
Good morning.
So this issue, and we've talked about this before, Professor, that, you know, it's not something new. It's been happening for years, decades, even centuries. And with all the training that takes place in corporate America, why is it still happening?
I think the important part to focus on right now is that it's still happening because key corporate executives, while they may pay lip service to this problem, and with quotes like, we take this very seriously, sometimes they're just not doing anything. They roll their eyes with the training. They don't participate. The trainings are superficial, pro forma. And so when key executives really start taking this seriously, then we will start seeing cultural change in businesses.
Now, there are three most common forms of workplace sexual harassment, as you've defined before. First is sexual coercion.
Right. Yes. So that's that type of behavior is the, if you sleep with me, I'll give you a raise, or if you have sex with me, then I'll let you keep your job. That's the coercive type of behavior.
Unwanted sexual attention.
Right. This is where it's not specifically tied to employment benefits or punishments, but it's continuous and pervasive. And I want to emphasize that, because asking someone out on a date is not sexual harassment, even twice. But we all know that feeling, and I call it the ick factor, that when someone is being really sleazy and is suggesting not a date, but a liaison, is paying really sexual attention to someone. That's the problem in this behavior.
Is that one of the most common ones in the workplace?
That's one of the most common ones, but you also noted that this behavior is continuing against women. And I think part of what we're seeing with current statistics regarding the differential in the women's pay scale, that is another form of harassment. And it's called the hostility towards women. It's basically, we don't value you very much. We value you as being sexual objects. And unless you put out, we're not going to pay you very much, or we're just going to indicate that we don't value you as workers and we're going to pay you as a group less than we pay another group.
So it's a whole different thing. Denigrating comments, off-color jokes intended to be offensive, mocking, you know, a lack of respect in general.
Exactly. And I think you hit it on it. You hit on it perfectly. It's a lack of respect. And what I think we've seen as a culture is this race to the bottom. You know, how outrageous, how rude, how shockingly, bad can we be? And for the new year, I'd really like to see us start a race towards the top. How respectful, how courteous, how supportive can we be to make America really productive again? Because we know that sexual harassment decreases productivity and the corporate bottom line.
Well, I'm a small business owner, and I've obviously had to deal with this with employees and complaints and so forth, especially over the years. And, you know, and you and I have talked to this before on my program, but it is the way you treat other people, the way men treat women. To me, it starts in childhood on how you were raised. I believe that, you know, there are people that say, you know, how to treat others should be taught in school. And we take so much of that responsibility off the parents, but it needs to be taught at home by example. And I was taught by my father long ago, you know, that you have the ultimate respect for everyone, no matter who they are.
Right. Our parents should be modeling this behavior. And many do. And I guess we need to return again to where do children get their lessons? They not only get them from parents, but they get them from other social leaders, teachers we mentioned, but we also get our lessons from the President of the United States and other social leaders.
Right.
And if those people are engaging in rude, sexualized, demeaning and offensive behavior, children are like little sponges. They absorb this. And so do we all. So what we need to do is, as a society, insist that our leaders adhere to a higher standard and embody the respect and dignity that we want to model in our homes and for our children.
Perfectly said, and in the workplace. We're talking to Professor Jennifer Drobak of Indiana University and the steps to take in 2018 to prevent sexual harassment in the workplace.
ABC News, Wall Street Now. Today is the deadline to get packages and letters mailed first class by Christmas, priority mail by Wednesday, or priority express by Friday. Republicans say they have the votes. The House is set to vote this afternoon on the most sweeping tax overhaul in a generation. The Senate is expected to follow shortly after, which could set up a bill signing for President Trump by the end of the week. Most of the benefits would go to businesses and the wealthy, which Republicans say would boost the economy and benefit all. The Congressional Budget Office estimates the cuts will widen the government's budget deficit by $1.45 trillion. On Wall Street, S&P 500 jumped about 14 points. The Dow picked up about 140 points. The NASDAQ Composite added about 58 points. Asian stock markets were mixed today. Dave Schreiber, ABC News.
You're listening to The Opening Bell on 720 WGN.
And it's Dave Player. We're talking to Jennifer Drobak, professor of law at Indiana University, about how to identify, prevent sexual harassment in the workplace as the new year approaches. Now, harassment is still very prevalent in our workplaces. Workplace safety is critical and includes creating a culture where every employee feels safe and comfortable going to work, and that all comes with proper training.
Right. And so making it clear what will and will not be tolerated at the workplace. And what I tell people seem confused about, you know, well, what's appropriate behavior? And there's a very simple way of evaluating this. And I suggest to people, you just imagine Great Aunt Bessie or your revered pastor as an angel on your shoulder looking down at whatever scene And if you can't do it in front of Great Aunt Bessie, you shouldn't be doing it in the workplace.
That's a great point.
That's a really easy way.
I love that. 95% of the alleged harassers and abusers went unpunished in this past year. If someone is sexually harassed in the workplace but are too afraid to speak up and really don't know what to do, what do you recommend is the best avenue for them to address the problem?
Well, there are several things that people should do. First of all, I always suggest, and it's partly because of my profession, get legal advice. Know your rights. And many lawyers will work on a contingency fee basis, meaning they'll work and not request payment from the injured person unless the injured person recovers. Although the new tax bill will change some of the deductions for both employers and employees, so I advise people to find out about that in the new tax plan. The other thing they can do is call the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission, the Labor Commission, and also get advice from their HR representatives. They have to be careful because they want to avoid retaliation, but if they document the behavior and they document going to HR, they can really take advantage of some of the resources out there.
There's a lot of corporations that have sexual harassment prevention training in the workplace, but it obviously is not making an impact. It's not. So what do companies need to do to strengthen that message to their employees? And yes, it does start at the top, but what do they need to do?
Well, I think if they send a message that this is on all of us, it's not just, we can't just take a magic pill and have this problem go away. So that means that corporate executives and others should emphasize that this is an environment that we all create for each other. So if someone observes sexual harassment going on, even if they're not the target of it, that the observer can report it. The observer can go to the target victim and say, are you okay? I saw that. The observer, if it's safe, can go to the perpetrator and say, hey, that wasn't cool. So key executives need to encourage everyone to participate in creating a safe and respectful work environment. And basically, we just need to take care of each other in 2018.
You know, one of the other things that I have noticed and read quite a bit about, and there's no excuse. A lot of people use alcohol as an excuse, but a lot of holiday parties have been curbed this year. They've been curbed shorter. They've been given one or two drink tickets, or alcohol has been removed completely from it, because the liability, not only from, you know, driving afterwards, that standpoint, but the liability of some of these things happening in that type of environment are also a key factor of some of this. And I've seen that as a kind of a newer trend this year as well.
Right. Alcohol has been historically used as an excuse.
As an excuse.
And so it really has. And that's unfortunate because, you know, I like a nice glass of wine like everyone else and a glass of champagne at New Year. But we need to emphasize that it can no longer be an excuse.
Right,
and
eliminate the excuse.
Who abuse, exactly, and people who abuse it really need to be sent a message. Now, I also don't want to say that we need to punish everyone because of a few bad apples, perpetrators in the barrel, if you will. But I also think that companies at this 5 minutes cannot equivocate. They need to send the message, and we need to keep this discussion going into the new year to make sure that we see the cultural change that we want.
Jennifer Drobak, professor of law at Indiana University, really appreciate your insight in this, and happy holidays to you and your family.
Thank you so much, and I wish the same to you and all your listeners.
Thanks so much. You're listening to The Opening Bell on 720 WGN. It's 5:32.
Hi, this is Katherine Davis with today's NO Minute on WGN Radio, a rundown of all the Chicago innovation and tech news you need to know, delivered by ChicagoNO.com. Candy maker Hershey announced that it has agreed to acquire Amplify Snack Brands for $1.2 billion. Amplify is based in Austin, Texas, but its flagship product, Skinny Pop Popcorn, was founded in Skokie in 2010 by Andy Friedman and Pam Netsky. That's today's NO Minute from WGN Radio. Learn more at ChicagoNO.com and sign up for The Beat, our daily email newsletter.
Now, WGN Radio's daily conversation about the life of business and the business of of life. This is the Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
And it's Dave Player in for Steve Grzanich on the Opening Bell this morning. For the first time in more than a decade, Christmas Eve falls on a Sunday this year, and the millions who will put off buying that special gift until, let's say, late Saturday afternoon or even Sunday risk the chance of having their special presents delivered on time. The National Retail Federation estimates that 30% of annual U.S. retail sales occurs between Black Friday and Christmas, with over half the shoppers who don't finish their Christmas shopping until these last few days of the season. And joining us to break it all down is Anna Smith. She's a senior director of media relations for the NRF. Good morning, Anna.
Good morning. Thank you for having me today.
Yep, absolutely. So from Thanksgiving to through Cyber Monday, more than 174 million Americans shopped in stores and online during that five-day weekend, beating 164 million estimated shoppers from an earlier year. The most popular day for in-store shopping was Black Friday, followed by Small Business Saturday. So the season essentially has been off to a very good start.
Definitely. Well, in fact, the season really started on November 1st. Many retailers starting that day were already offering Black Friday deals, but they weren't as enticing as the actual deals that you saw in store and online on the actual physical Black Friday day. So consumers were, and even we saw based off of the recent November sales retail results, consumers were taking advantage of all of these deals coming through from retailers the entire month of November, with the biggest shopping days being, of course, Thanksgiving weekend. And it's a great start of the season. We believe it's going to continue on being a strong December, especially with these extra couple of days of shopping that consumers have left. And retailers are putting out some really great promotions even now to still entice folks to take advantage of last-minute deals, again, online and in-store.
How is the shopping experience different this year than in years past?
Well, it's definitely been an interesting year for retail in general. We're seeing a lot of transformation in the way retailers are interacting in-store with their customers. And therefore, a lot of that is coming to life right now during the holidays. The biggest thing is retailtainment. What that means is entertainment in-store. Retailers are finding ways to bring the consumer by telling them, hey, we have this great party just to showcase all the latest toys. Bring your kids, have them play with them. And if the toys are still available in-store, you can buy them there or we can order them for you online. Other retailers have Santa's in their store instead of having Santa in the mall to get the consumer to come in and take a picture with Santa, or even a Lego Santa like Target recently did for the holidays. And it's all of these little things like that. It's what's going to get the consumer comfortable to get off of their sofa, off of their phone, and go into the retail store.
Well, that's in really focusing on their core competencies, you know, and actually having some one-on-one human encounters and those in-store experiences. And quite frankly, that's going to be the way brick-and-mortar stores survive in 2018 in the future, is you've got to give the consumer reasons to walk into your store.
Yeah, definitely. And other retailers are doing other interesting things, too, adding elements of digital into the part of the in-store experience or combining a lot of the online pieces with the in-store piece. So what I mean by that is the opportunity to buy online and pick up in-store. In the industry, we call it BOPIS. It entices the consumer to still shop online in the comfort of their home, but if they want to get that item that same day, they could just pick it up in store instead of having to wait 2-3 days of delivery to finally make it home. And that's, we're seeing a lot more promotions from the retailers this holiday season, encouraging people to take advantage of that because at the end of the day, it's free shipping, right, and you get the item much quicker.
Absolutely true. What types of retailers have been the top shopping destinations this holiday? What are we seeing?
Well, clothing and accessories turns out to be always one of the top gifts that people love to give to people or to their family and loved ones. So that's why department stores make sense that they're the number one destination. However, online shopping and online retailers still tend to be really popular. One thing I need to clarify is that when we say online retailers, we are talking about everyone from Walmart.com, Target.com, all the big .coms also have brick and mortar stores. But in our survey, when we ask the question about online retailers, it's that's how we're seeing it. We're seeing all of the dot-coms, not just the pure plays like Amazon.
Been reading all over the place. Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No. And then the most obvious spot or third destination is electronic stores. Folks take advantage of electronic deals, especially the really discounted TVs over Black Friday.
You were talking a lot about online covers everybody. I've been reading a lot that so many more people this year, and even into an older demographic, which is new this year, are actually doing the shopping on their smartphone, or at least making their decisions of what they're going to buy on their smartphone.
Yeah, so even in our latest survey, which we're releasing today, we asked the question, if you're planning on using your smartphone to complete your last-minute holiday shopping, over 46% of adult Americans said yes. And then with that, we dig in a little bit more, like, what exactly are you going to be doing with your smartphone? 26% of Americans are planning that are using their cell phone are actually planning to make a purchase through their cell phone. The rest of the population, they're either doing a lot of research or price comparison, or looking at store hours, things like that. So it has increased definitely the use of smartphones. They've been getting more and more popular compared to tablets to use to do online shopping. But the biggest piece right now we're seeing is more of the research element, and then that's automatically followed by actually making the purchase online through their phone.
I think on Cyber Monday, when I had a complete list of things to buy, I sat down on my laptop and I ordered everything, you know, that I could at the same time. But then as things popped up, and I noticed this, and I'm 50, so as I'm walking through the house, my wife said, "Oh, I heard from so-and-so, their daughter would like this." Literally, as I was walking across the kitchen to the living room, I went to Amazon, ordered it within seconds on my phone, and it came the next day. So that level of convenience, I don't need to have a shopping experience to go buy a toy for somebody else. You know, I want that shopping experience, you know, for myself. If I'm going to walk into a retailer, I want to, you know, I want something that's going to excite me, that's going to get me motivated to walk into the store, and something that I'm going to enjoy as an experience, almost like any other entertainment venue.
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, you talked about this a little bit earlier, and it's the fact that senior citizens, anybody that's 65 or older, we noticed in our survey during Black Friday weekend that 36% of that population shopped online. And it makes sense for them. If you think about it, a lot of these folks may want to just be in the comfort of their home. They may have an illness or something like that, but they still want to get those grandkids the gifts that they want for the holidays. Mm-hmm. So online shopping is super, super convenient for them too because of that. But the younger generations, Gen Z and the young millennials, they are actually still the ones that are driving the force of shopping in store. They like the experience of online shopping because of the convenience of it. They obviously learned that from older generations. But there's something unique and nostalgic for them about shopping in store that it's a very attractive element and part of the shopping experience.
So with that said, for 2018 and beyond, there are retailers out there that really haven't touched their stores in decades, really made a change or a shift. That's going to be critical in the new year, is to really look at what your retail model is as a business owner and figure out how to make that experience special for the consumer.
Definitely. I mean, look, we've seen the headlines this year. Some of all of the retailers that have not only gone through bankruptcy, but have officially closed their store. And it does not look pretty, but it is real. It is the case. There's a lot of shifts that's happening right now in the U.S. population, which is causing some small towns that had these huge malls to be deserted, and therefore naturally causing retailers to close their stores. But also the transformation that we're seeing in technology, especially digital retail technology, which is mostly driven by the consumer. Exactly what you said, the convenience of I can order somebody else's gift in 2 minutes through Amazon, and you're still purchasing from a retailer, but it's all online. It's making other retailers stay a lot more competitive, change their strategies, and get more connected to the consumer the way they like to shop. We're going to continue on definitely seeing this in 2018. we would not be surprised if we see a little bit more headlines of some other folks filing bankruptcy. But the ones that are staying strong are the ones that are being very competitive, are the ones that are highly investing in all of the digital elements that they didn't have in the past. And they will continue on doing so in 2018. There's definitely, no matter what, we're going to see winners and losers next year.
Anna Smith, Senior Director of Media Relations for the National Retail Federation. Thank you so much, and happy holidays to you.
Happy holidays.
You're listening to The Opening Bell on 720 WGN.
And from the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk this morning, European markets were slightly higher this morning on the back of record-setting session on Wall Street yesterday. Amid heightened expectations, U.S. lawmakers could pass sweeping tax legislation. Japan's Nikkei closed lower this morning as well. Most automakers and retailers saw gains, and Mitsubishi Motor outperformed its peers in the auto sector. Tech shares were mostly lower. And now for the latest on commodities and agriculture, here is Orion Samuelson.
Not the best day in the marketplace for U.S. soybean growers yesterday. Rains boosted soil moisture in dry Argentine corn and soybean areas. Most corn contracts matched contract lows, and wheat moved higher, as dry weather in the U.S. plains put that crop at risk in the minds of traders. Then we take a look at the livestock story yesterday, and supply and demand worries pulled CME hogs from a four-month high. Technical selling and futures premiums to CME's hog index at $64.11 weighed on the market yesterday. February hogs ended down $1.12 a hundredweight. So the grain market screen totally red except for the wheat market, and the livestock market screen pretty much red except the nearby feeder cattle contract. Interesting lawsuit filed by 13 states yesterday against the state of Massachusetts, claiming that a voter-approved law to ban the sale of eggs and other food products from farm animals that are confined in overly restricted cages is unconstitutional. But those who are looking at the lawsuit are saying that it's in violation of a clause in the U.S. Constitution on one state attempting to impose its own regulatory standards on farmers in other states. Yes, more time in the courtroom for U.S. agricultural producers. Have a great day. I'm Orion Samuelson.
Thank you, Orion. Now for the Associated Bank Market Desk Outlook for Tuesday, December 19, 2017. For earnings today, we'll be looking for reports from FedEx, Navistar, Darden Restaurants, Micron, Red Hat, and Steelcase. And tomorrow, we'll be looking at existing home sales.